come, but I enjoy the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, don't you? I enjoy His presence, love His presence. Love to be washed in the Word, washed in His presence. I just like to be washed. In fact, I like things to be washed. And one thing that I am really, really, really ticky about is my car, that I like for it to be nice and washed and clean. So I do frequent. I found a place, actually, that was nearby that did car washes for like $4 or $5. So, hey, I'm game with that, right? And since I like my car to be clean inside and out, I frequented this place. And I went into this car wash, true story, and, you know, if I disillusion you a little bit through this story, we can pray and you can be delivered because I'm just an ordinary girl that's up here. So I started to go in the car wash, and I noticed that it was full. It was full. There was car. It was like back-to-back cars getting their car washed. And so, you know, I've been to plenty. I know what to do. You put it in neutral, release. You just let it go, right? Well, actually, something I thought was going wrong with the machine because literally I got closer and closer and closer to the car in front of me, and I thought, oh, dear God, I am like, my car is going to bang into the backside of the car in front of me. And what do you do in that situation? I mean, the gap was closing in. It didn't look like there was going to be, and I lived in India where, you know, you drive like this far away. From what, so things really don't, you know, stir me up or bother me on the roadways here in America so much because I'm used to traffic overseas. And so you had to know that was getting pretty close for me to feel quite disconcerted, right? So what did I do? I did what I'm not supposed to do. I put on the brakes, all right? And so it kind of messed things up a little bit there in the car, but not too much. We literally got out. And the manager started pulling cars over, and me too. So he pulled me over and said, wait right here. I said, okay. And I thought, wow, maybe something just went totally drastically wrong, and this is my frame of thinking. And he's just giving me this pro bono. Like, he's going to give me several gift certificates because something totally screwed up with the car wash, you know, and it's going to be all good. This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking very positive things in my mind, right? And then he starts to go and talk to every person that was in front of me and behind me. And all of a sudden, I got this uneasy feeling. Something is going on here. And literally, he comes over to me. I roll my window down and goes, ma'am, I want you to know you're not supposed to put your brake on while you're in the car wash. And you know what? If there's any damage on any one of these cars over here, he goes, you are held liable. In fact, if there's anything wrong with the car wash over here, anything goes wrong, you're completely liable for all of that because we have the rules and the rules are strict. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, he was just totally going off on me. And, you know, I am a believer. And I love Jesus. But I told him, I said, sir, I said, look, I got really close and I'm about to, I thought I was going to hit the guy in front of me. That can't happen. He goes, this way things are wired, you know, he just kept on going off. And I tell you, I got a little flustered. And this is what I said. God forgive me if I'm disillusioning you at all. But I said, sir, I said, what you said might be completely right, but how you said it is completely wrong. And you're a businessman and this is how you treat a regular customer? I don't think so. I mean, but have you ever been in that kind of a circumstance? What someone says might be completely right, but how they say it is completely wrong? He goes, I'm sorry, ma'am. Because nothing was wrong. Everything was fine. No cars got damaged or anything. But, you know, I had to say, okay, Jesus, forgive me. Because I have a lot of love for people. I do. But it comes to some point, you know. So if you're disillusioned, we'll pray with you later. But we're talking about the power of the Word of God and the power of our words, right? Now, let's take that, for instance, and versus my mother in this scenario. When I was in junior high and part of high school, I played basketball, okay? And my mom and dad tried to make it to almost all of the games. Dad had to work sometimes late, so he couldn't make some of them. But my mom was there. And I remember one time I was playing, you know, and I really shot. I think it had like a three-pointer type thing, and it went in and woo! You know, I was excited, and I heard mom on the sidelines, you know, cheering and oh, you know, so excited. Well, it came time for a break, and we go and we sit on the pew. Mom was sitting directly in back of me, okay? And when I sat down, my mom put her arms around me like this and whispered in my ear, "Renee, I am so very proud of you." Now, what kind of word was that? There's a variation in those stories, isn't there? Yeah? And here's the thing I love about God, that his tone and his word are both accurate at the same time. And he is never amiss when he speaks to his children. Aren't you grateful for that? It's at the right words, and it's at the right tone. The volume can go up, it can go down, but his is never misconstrued. Isn't that a good thing to know? God's word, PowerPoint. Is it working? Otherwise, I'll just fly with it. The point to ponder, God's word is always right and has residual ripple effects. Woo, there you go. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
In Genesis 15:1, we're going to look at this verse here. This verse says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. We're going to look through that verse today. We're going to look through other words. But the word of the Lord came to Abram. Abram just battled with kings, all right? Went through a heavy, heavy, heavy battle. He became troubled, and he became fearful and anxious. He was concerned about repercussions. Many of you came up last night, and the Lord set you free. How many received of the Lord a touch, and you know that the Lord set you free? Hallelujah. Look all around you. Thank you, Jesus. Abraham won a great battle. The Lord's hand was with him. And then all of a sudden, after the great battle, he became a little worried and anxious, which the devil tries to throw that after you, after you received a touch from him. Doesn't he try and do that? Yes. But God assured him in a word, and there's power in his word, yes, that he is going to be with him. Do not be afraid. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. Now, let's look at what it says. The word there means a cause, and it almost also means logos. In the book of John, in the New Testament, we read about that. And the word became what? Flesh. Jesus was the word of God made flesh, and he dwelt among us. He is the word of a living God. His personal wisdom and power and union with God, his minister and creation and government of all the universe, the cause of all the world's life, both physical and ethical, the cause of all the world's life, both physical and ethical, in the beginning was the word. When God speaks the word, who is Jesus, there is a cause, and then there is an effect. So when the word is spoken, meaning the very word of God, there is a cause and there is an effect. Let there be light. And there was light. There was a cause and there is an effect. Everything in our life has a cause and an effect. When sin came into the world, that was disrupted. But then Jesus came and nullified everything that there was. Let's look There you go. The cause of everything. He was crucified, nullified, and so too is the effect. The effect is nullified. It disappears. The cosmos is nullified. The old life dies. The world dies. The old you dies. There is power in the word. Hallelujah. So a point to ponder. God is purposeful in word and name, and we should emulate his cause. Let's look at naming. Since namings are powerful words, so to speak, do you know more often than not in the Bible, mothers name their children? There's 23 occurrences for mother and 18 for fathers. Did you know that? Mothers have a powerful influence over their children. I don't know why parents name some of their children like bend over and seriously, filet mignon, bear trap. Seriously? I even hear there's like McDonald burger. There is power when we name people and the words that we use, the tone that we use. There is power in that, isn't there? I was at Walmart, about a week or so ago. And I happened to get in line with one of the cash registers, and I noticed that her name was Renee. And this is what I said. I said, "Do you know what our name means?" She goes, "Oh, your name is Renee too?" And I said, "Yes, it is." I said, "Our name means reborn." She looks slightly stunned. She goes, "Oh my goodness." She proceeded to tell her story. She said, "I was a tubal baby. I was a tubal baby, and the doctors told my mother at the time that she should get rid of abort me because it was going to be her life or mine. And you know what? We should get rid of that." She goes, "But my grandma started to pray and speak words of life over me." Words of life. And she goes, "As grandma," which is the mom that was pregnant, "started praying and speaking that word," there's power in the word, "over that, there was a pop that happened in that area, the tubal pregnancy. Lo and behold, months later, there was Renee." Hallelujah. She told me that story really right there as she's checking me out. And she told me that, and I'm like going, "Wow." And she's like, "Now," she goes, "it all makes sense. My name, reborn." Isn't that powerful? We need to speak words of life because there's power in the word. We need to give our children and others a sense of destiny and speak life and words into them. Hallelujah. In fact, Adam. You know what Adam means? I looked up the original name of Adam. Adam means Rudy or from clay because he was made from clay, right? But here's what's interesting. Clay is made from what? The earth. Okay, we are actually made from the earth because we come from Adam and Eve, right? To dust you've come, from dust you will what? Return. Okay, did you ever look at it this way? Since Adam's name is Rudy or clay, made from the earth. When we come to the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Let your will be done on earth." That means who? Point to yourself. "Let your will be done." We are earthlings. Hello, everybody. Woo! Is that not good? "Let your will be done on earth." earthlings. God's will for Adam was to be blessed and to be fruitful and to be good. In fact, God is a name changer God. Let's look at the different ways he has changed names in Scripture. He is a name changer, word changer. There is hope forever who seemed to name, like, you know, bend over and all of those things. Might not be God's intent for you. He can give you a new name. Let's look. God changed Abram's high father name to Abraham, father of a multitude. Woo, there's increase there, right? Sarah, my princess, to Sarah, mother of nations. Ooh, I like that increase as well. Jacob, supplanter, name changed to Israel, having power with God. And actually favor with others, too. Simon, God has heard, named to Peter, rock. His word says, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Let's read together. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. A what stone? A white stone with a new name. Now, studying this and going through Scripture, I found something very interesting I've never seen before. You guys are getting some fresh stuff. And I hope I'm making sense, even though my head's a little clogged. So, it's interesting to know that, and we look at the Adam and Eve. Eve, she's one of the ones that named her son, named Abel, which means breath. Huh. We talked about that last night, didn't we? Yeah, did you ever think of the word breathable? Think about, I mean, now you're just getting it. Some of them be like, oh, wow, yeah. It's like, okay, so the breath of life that we talked about last night came into Abel, meaning what? Gentle breath, breath. But soon his what? Breath was taken. Yeah, it was killed. In fact, his brother, Cain, killed him. His blood fell on the ground, right? Okay, found this an interesting thing. The Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes the presence of God, was placed on the, quote, stone of Abel in 1 Samuel 6, 17 to 20. Now, the stone of Abel is not mentioned in the NIV, but it is in the King James Version. You look it up. It is there. Okay? They actually brought the Ark of the Covenant, the stone which represented the blood of Abel, and they set it and rested it on Abel's stone, rock. Now, if you think about this, in the Bible, in Hebrews 12, 24, it says, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant and the sprinkling of blood that speaks a better word than that of the what? Blood of Abel on a white stone. He's given us a new stone with a new name. Can't you see the symbolism that is there? How God rested his presence on that stone, which was Stone of Abel. And it is a foreshadowing of what Jesus giving us a new name on new stones with his blood. Found it interesting that, you know, Abel's blood was dropped on the ground. And when Jesus died, his blood was what? Dropped on the ground that nullified it all. His blood speaks greater. And he puts our names on new stones, new life. Isn't that good to know? New names. Hallelujah. The song this morning, he's calling us by name. I was just like really stoked. The praise and worship line up. It was so a God thing. But isn't this powerful? There's power in the word of God. Every name should point to Jesus. And it does. Abel's does. Abel and the stone of Abel literally directs people to Jesus. Every name should, even yours. Here's the thing. Let's look at I am. Jesus says, I am. When Moses goes to tell Pharaoh, he goes, what should I say? And God tells him, you tell them that I am sent you. The name of God is made up of four Hebrew letters, the yah, the hey, the yay, and all of that, okay? So when you speak of yourself, you're speaking the very name of God. God says, I am sent you. When you introduce yourself to someone, you say what? I am Renee. Woo! The word of God is in your name. Even though if you had a name, if somebody named you something a little quirky, you know, you can say, you know what? I am. It's pointing to who? It's pointing to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hope you guys are getting all this. And he says to Abram, he says, you know what? The word of the Lord came to Abraham saying, I am, we just talked about that, I am your shield. Shield. Shield means protector. In fact, shield in the biblical era, in Isaiah 21:15, it says, get up, you officers, and oil the shields. Now, this is fun. I thought it was very fun. I'm all about oils and, you know, things, so especially the oil of the Holy Ghost. But the shields back in Bible days were actually draped over with leather. They were leather. And, you know, leather can sometimes get cracked. So what'd they do? They put oil, smeared oil, all over the shield because the shield was made with leather. Yes? Therefore, it wouldn't get dry. It wouldn't get cracked. It was a protector. And when the arrows came, ping, 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 slide right off because of the oil. That shield. God says that he is a shield around us. The glory and the lifter of our head. Oh my goodness, can we not get oiled up with the slickness of the oil of God? Yes, so the flaming arrows can just whoop, slide off of us, not penetrate. We don't have to get dry and cracked. Yes, we can be preserved and protected by God, the lifter of. And do you know? It's probably up there on the PowerPoint already. You probably see it. But you know what? The name Messiah, Jesus' name, Christos and Messiah, actually comes from the root word, Christo, Messiah, which is linked to oil. So every time you say the name Jesus, it is linked not only to the word of God. There should be a cause and an effect when you say the name of Jesus. You speak his name. There is a cause, whatever Jesus' purpose on heaven as it is on earth. You speak out that cause, there is an effect, but it's also his oil that's protecting you, that's shielding you. Hallelujah. He is our shield, our protector, our provider. Ooh, and our reward, a payment or contract, salary. I like that idea. Since I am getting one consistently, he has been my provider. And my protector. Hallelujah. Point to ponder. I am is your protector and your very great payment or provider. Thank you, Lord. Now, the swerve a little bit into what the Word of God says in the New Testament. And when it talks about thorns, there's a great verse that says in Matthew 13:22, the sower and the seed, says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Choke it. That means you what? You lose your breath. Did we talk about that last night? Worries, anxieties, money, mentality are all choked by thorns. So the word of God cannot produce life. The thorns choke the word of God. Now, here's what something's really interesting. The thorns and the breath are nothing really new here. It goes all the way back to the beginning. God breathed his breath of life into Adam and Eve, like we talked about last night, correct? When they fell and they made a choice to deliberately disobey God, what came up from the ground? He breathed into them what? The breath of life. They chose to sin. What came up from the ground? The earth? The thorns. What does thorns do? It chokes the word of God. Are you getting this? says Genesis 3:17, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field." Here's an interesting thought. Ride with me on this, would you? Exodus 3, the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within a bush. You know what that bush was made up of? Yes, it was. It was made up of thorns. But interesting, that Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not what? Burn up. What was that to tell him? You know what? I've heard the cries of my people. They are enslaved in bondage, in slavery in Egypt. I want them to be free. I want you to go tell them to be free. And he spoke the thorns with the fire. And so he did. And what happened? God broke them free, right? But when they were relieved, it just seems like physically they were free, but mentally, "You brought us out here in the desert to die." Physically, I mean, they're broke. They're not slaves anymore. They're not making bricks, you know, out of, you know, straw. They're free. But in their mind, are they free? No, they're thinking back. I know I'm not speaking to anyone here today. Yeah. Interesting thought, isn't it? Point to ponder. God can speak and manifest himself in a sinful world. That means world, that's not word. I made a goof up there. Okay? And that's what the thorn represents, right? The worries of this world. Okay? However, it doesn't mean that the sin will be removed. God's people were taken physically out of Egypt, but their mind was still encased with the mental bondage of worry. They were led by the fire of night, but still had the worry thorn of the flesh. There's a thought. And somebody goes, "Oh man, it's really quiet in here." Worry was choking them, strangling their life and hope. And, you know, sometimes when the Lord sets someone free, as he did last night, the devil likes to come back full throttle and tries to mess with your mind. It happened to the Israelites. Why do you think it would not happen to you? We need to align ourselves with the Word of God, what the Word of God says, and not our feelings. Our feelings are not something we need to follow. We need to put ourselves back behind what the Word of God says and stand on His Word, right? Hallelujah. And I love the fact, though, that how God is such a merciful, merciful Lord and compassionate God that likes to rectify those things in the past. And He did that. He set the Israelites free, but that was the Israelites. But he's not only for the Israelites, but he's also for the what? For the Gentiles. He is also for all of us, right? So here's what I find so interesting. Jesus died on the cross, and they put a crown of on his head. On his what? Head. Very thorns that came up from the fall of the sin of man. Thorns and thistles that grew. The thorns that choke the worries of this life. I don't think it's by chance in the New Testament it talks about the thorns and the worries and the anxieties of the life, how it chokes the breath of life out from us. Do you see how this is all intertwined from last night to today? Yeah? And then Jesus does what? He dies on the cross, and they put the crown of thorns. They did. He didn't. He willingly took it on. He's like, "You know what? I'm taking on the worries, the anxieties, the thorns, the thistles that came up from the ground, from the earth, the things that have punctured you before, the things that are coming after you and throwing their darts at you. You know what? I'm taking it on." And the very puncture of the thorns is taking the thorn out of you. Hallelujah. No longer will you be choked anymore by the worries and the deceitfulness of today, but God wants you to what? Be set free from all of that. Hallelujah. He took up that curse. I'm not sure if I said everything that's on the PowerPoint, but you know, I'm just rolling with it. Hallelujah. Now, you know what? This is what I find further interesting. I about did some Jericho marches around my house. Because when Jesus died, he had the crown, you know, with the burning bush, there was the fire and the thorns, right? But the thorns were not consumed. Okay? But then God delivered them, and there was a fire by night, but there was no thorns in it, right? But Jesus wanted to rectify that, put the crown of thorns on his head, nullified it all. But you know what? There was no fire. However, in Acts chapter 2, once the thorns were removed, are you following me? They were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound, the blowing, the sound, wasn't necessarily blowing, but the sound of a wind, breath of God, comes in, right? Yes. And what seemed to be, what? Tongues of fire came to rest on there. Yes. Were there any thorns that were on their hands? No, the thorn is gone. The fire is there. Hallelujah. To consume. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. And you know what? I don't think it's by chance at all. I think it's so of God that they crucified him on what they call Golgotha. Place of the skull. Because it looks like what? Head. Yes. An empty head. Do we need to go on and take a rabbit trail down there? I do probably today. But I don't think that's by chance. And I don't think it's by chance that there was a thorn of crowns on his head, taking back the ground, the territory that has been stolen. Hallelujah. Every time you see somebody wearing a sporting a tattoo with a skull or a shirt, you just think, and then the cross of Christ over that, the cross of Christ over that. Anybody dealing with worries, anxieties, and fears are the things that, the arrows that are flying after you after the Lord delivered you and coming back after you and the voices of Satan just whispering and saying, oh, you're not delivered, and oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You say, uh-uh. The thorns on the head. Jesus did thorn, Golgotha. Jesus died on the cross for me on the head. I am delivered in Jesus' name by the word of God. Hallelujah. 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 And you know what? He can fill you with his fire. And his fire has no thorns. Hallelujah. Because he consumes those thorns with his fire. It penetrates them. Aren't you excited about that? And I just think I just kind of wrapped it all up. Sorry, PowerPoint person. You got a tough job. But I believe, don't let what happened to you last night, you know, get oiled up with the Lord. You know, oil up your shield. They go, bing! Okay, let it penetrate and protect. I am your shield and your very great reward. I am. You speak your name. I'm not feeling well today. But you know what you just said? God is in the midst of what I'm feeling. I feel sad. I am sad today. You say, I am. That's still what? God's name. Hallelujah. There's power in the word of God. Hallelujah. How many are ready to stand on the word of God and not necessarily your feelings? But you can stand and say, you know what? Thorns are removed in the name of Jesus because he took that curse away. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, oh, thank you for your name. Your name. And you are calling us by name. You said this morning we are your daughters. Oh, Lord, take back the ground. You're welcome, Lord, to trespass on the grounds, Lord, of my life. I don't have a sign that says no trespassing. I have a sign, Lord, that says on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, on this earth. Thank you, Lord, that you mold and make us and clay us and form us. And thank you, Lord, that you breathe your life, Lord, into us. We don't have to be choked anymore by the worries and concerns of this world. We don't have to be choked out by the life and the breath, because, Lord, you took that on the cross. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, a fire is waiting to consume us. Lord, help us to know how to speak words of life over people. Words of life. Breathing into them, Lord, couriers and carriers of your presence and of your power. Lord, I thank you that today, after the session, not necessarily a time of prayer, but Lord, is a time of faith to stand on your word. So everything the devil would come after, if you set us free, we can say, you know what? No. In Jesus' name, the Lord took that on, and I am free by the power of the Word of God. I do not stand by my feelings. I stand behind the Word and will of God. It says, "Whose son sets free is free indeed." We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Word. We look forward to the power of the blessing and the power in the genes to come. And Lord, help us just to get to know one another and to chillax and enjoy. Look forward, Lord, to just spreading the power of the blessing around in the genes in our next session. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. Amen.